What do you say about a 500 team on a three-game losing streak? That they better win their conference tournament if they want to go dancing in March, even if that team is Duke. This is the position the Blue Devils find themselves in after a lackluster finish to an average season.
It's the most wonderful time of year in college basketball. But some of the usual heroes and villains of March, like Duke, who you just heard about, coming off that loss to Carolina, they've been overshadowed by newer blood, like Gonzaga and Illinois. Today, Myron Medcalf lays out how the tournament field is shaping up and exactly how mad March is going to be. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, March 9th. This is ESPN Daily. Myron, it is your time. It is March. You cover college basketball for ESPN and for us, most importantly. What's it like in your house these days, given conference championship stuff, tournament stuff, all really coming together finally?
It's kind of weird because I kind of forgot how to travel.
Myron Medcalf is headed to Indianapolis this week ahead of March Madness.
You know, I haven't been on the road in a year, so like I'm getting ready for my first trip in a year, so that's kind of weird. I'm looking forward to it. But I also am not necessarily familiar with how to go forward in sort of this new world.
Yeah, I'm terrified to even check my Delta SkyMiles balance at this point. I spent an entire life, Myron, as a reporter, assembling these things, and now I'm basically bankrupt.
Yeah, Marriott doesn't really care as much about me anymore. I was big on those Marriott rewards emails. I'm getting like one every 2 months now, so I don't know if that's a good thing.
So situate us, if you could, Myron, as to where we are in the college basketball universe right now. For those who aren't quite up to speed, what's just behind us? What's coming up?
Well, for those who haven't been following, if you are accustomed to the powerhouse schools running the show in college basketball, that's not what's happening this year. Kansas had a rough stretch. They're kind of bouncing back. Duke is not going to get into the NCAA tournament unless they win the ACC tournament championship, which is unlikely. Michigan State has a lot of work to do to get into the field. North Carolina has a lot of work to do to get into the field. And Kentucky needs a miracle as well. They need to win the SEC championship and the SEC tournament to get into the big dance. So it's just an interesting year where the powerhouse schools we're accustomed to talking about aren't very good. But you know who is good? A school like Alabama. Yes, the football team's good, but the basketball program has been pretty good this year as well. Baylor, Gonzaga, Illinois, Michigan. You're more accustomed to hearing at least a couple of those schools in the football conversation, but those are the top teams in college basketball right now. So it just hasn't been a very traditional year in any way, shape, or form.
I'm not done with my, I don't know if I want to call it joy at the comeuppance that these schools have gotten, the Blue Bloods, Myron, but the fact that Kentucky, Duke, Michigan State, these are not just shoo-ins, right, for the tournament this year. How startling is that for you?
It's unlike anything I've ever seen. I mean, I've never covered a tournament where those teams weren't involved. And yes, you want to see Goliath fall. But in the tournament, the cool thing is that you get an opportunity to play those teams. So the tournament's best when you've got those powerhouse schools with the mid-majors and the Cinderellas and everybody's there together. I do think it certainly will lose some of its spark if those teams don't find a way to get in. The lie about the tournament is that everybody wants upsets. No, you don't. You want first weekend upsets. You want to see it happen on the Thursday and Saturday. In the Sweet 16, you want to see the best teams in America competing against one another. That's what makes the tournament the best. So I don't know. It's going to be weird without those teams that we're accustomed to seeing.
Do you remember, I'm going to actually put this as a quiz to you, Myron. The last time Duke did not make the tournament, I'm going to give you two songs from that year. We have Alanis Morissette and You Oughta Know coming out. And we have Montel Jordan telling us that this is how we do it. That was the last year that Duke did not make the tournament. Do you remember that year?
So I got to walk myself through this historically. The year after Grant Hill enters the draft, it's 93-94. I think Capel takes that team to the tournament. I think it's 94-95 when Coach K has the back injury and he misses half the season and they don't make it. So I think it's 95. Am I right?
Montel Jordan is so proud of you. This is how, in fact, you do it.
This is how we do it.
I can do that in the 90s. Not as good as the 80s, but I can do that in the 90s.
So let's get to who is atop the sport right now. And we're talking about Gonzaga here, Myron, because they started at number one. They stayed at number one. I want to ask you about whether you think they're going to just win this whole thing later on. But in terms of just what they're doing here, what have they pulled off so far?
Well, I mean, I just think they pulled off being one of the best teams in America. I mean, Gonzaga has not just won games. They have been the most dominant force in college basketball. And the argument against a team like that usually is like, yeah, but they're doing that in the West Coast Conference. Well, they've got three pros, two pros for sure, maybe three, Drew Timmy, Corey Kispert, and then Jalen Suggs. If the world hasn't met him yet, they're going to meet him here in a couple of weeks.
Inbound to Suggs, who's defended by Obagi. He's left open, shoots a deep three and hits it. He is three full steps behind the three-point line. Obagi backed off him, and Jalen Suggs knocks down the deep one to push the lead back to double figures.
Who's Jalen Suggs? He's a kid out of Minnesota who was a top recruit in both football and basketball. Ohio State offered him a football scholarship. He decided to play basketball instead, go to Gonzaga. He's going to be a top-five pick in the upcoming draft.
Here's Suggs, a little hesitation, gets under the basket here. Here's a pass down low for Timmy. Timmy back to Suggs. Suggs, two-handed dunk as the shot clock expires.
They've got players like that. Kentucky usually gets those guys. Duke gets those guys. North Carolina. That guy's playing in Spokane, Washington, and that's why I think that team is legit. They've got elite talent, elite coaching, and this could be their year.
So it's important for us to note here, in fairness to you, Myron, that you've been kind of a prophet for us. When we had you on the last time, we pressured you, unfairly perhaps, to give us your top five just as the season was getting started. And I'm going to tell you what you gave us, and I'm going to have you grade yourself, because you gave us Gonzaga, okay, obviously number one in the AP poll, that is an A+. Baylor, a top three team right now. You gave us Iowa, a top five team right now. And you also mentioned Virginia, which is top 25 at the moment, and Villanova, which is currently top 10. How do you think you did?
I don't know. That's probably a C+, B- effort. I didn't see Michigan coming. I didn't see Illinois. I think I thought some of the powerhouse schools would be better. But I knew Gonzaga was real, and I knew Baylor was real. And that still feels to me like the collision course. Like, I think Gonzaga and Baylor meet in the national championship. It just feels like they're destined to end the season that way.
So elsewhere in the conference championship landscape, what is jumping out to you, Myron? What storylines are you tracking? What names are you looking for among the schools that you think actually have a real chance to upset the apple cart here?
I just wonder if Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State are real, because it's a very interesting finish that they've had. Like, in the last 2 to 3 weeks, you could say they've been one of America's best teams. They go on the road and beat West Virginia without Cade Cunningham. We watched Cade Cunningham score 40 points in his first matchup against Oklahoma.
Cunningham, he puts Oklahoma State back on top with under 40 seconds to go.
What a performance we're seeing. What a clutch performance.
I think Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State are the coolest story in the country, because they have a real chance to maybe play their way into a 3 seed, which would be remarkable if they can do that. And they would be very scary in the NCAA tournament.
That's the Big 12 then. What about the Big East? What about the SEC, Myron? Anything in there that is jumping out to you?
Well, I think the Big East is going to be interesting. Villanova loses Colin Gillespie, their top guard. He ends up getting injured, tears an MCL. He's out for the season. I think that's a big setback for that team. I think Villanova looked like maybe potentially an Elite Eight Final Four team. Losing him is tough, but can they regroup in the Big East tournament? I think that's a major question. All eyes are going to be on this Creighton team that might be going forward without Greg McDermott, their head coach, after his situation and the comments he made. His team lost a game, and as any coach does, there's sort of this post-game speech, and he told his team, quote, "We have to stay on the plantation." Now, this is a team with white players, black players, and then it comes out. He actually admitted it on Twitter, said, "Hey, I said it. I'm sorry." Creighton came out with a statement saying they would deal with it internally. But then they let him coach against Villanova, which was a really bad look. And then after he coached against Villanova, they lost that game. Then the school comes out and says, yeah, he's suspended from all team activities. The players, before a game on Saturday, put up a video saying, we were really hurt by his comments, and this is a hard thing to stomach.
People, they speak about inequalities and equalities, but don't truly know what it means to be equal. And I feel like this is a start for a new conversation to be had in the future. Let's continue to educate each other, and let's continue to grow.
I don't know why he said it. I don't know what he was trying to say. But the fact that Creighton allowed him to coach at Villanova, everything they did after that was insincere in my mind.
Myron, when you saw the video that those players put out, and it was a produced video, it was something that clearly had a lot of thought and effort go into it. What went through your mind?
I thought, wow, to even be in this position, I don't know what that's like to be in their locker room. But they were standing up for themselves, so it did make me feel proud that they took that opportunity to say, listen, we matter here. And the words he used were offensive. And I think the biggest thing that they were saying was, consider us first. These players are aware of their platform, and they feel a sense of responsibility. So for something like that to happen, they weren't going to let that slide. So that's a lot of pressure for those young men in that locker room. But maybe they can overcome that, and they end up proving themselves to be one of the better teams in the country.
All right, coming up, I need you to explain how this NCAA tournament is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen before.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
So, Myron, we're talking on Sunday right now. How different is this time of year for these coaches who are trying to get over the finish line and get into March Madness?
Well, I think there are a lot of people who are just knocking on wood, four-leaf clovers, whatever you have, just hoping you get from here to the Indianapolis bubble. Because once you get in, I think there's a lot of confidence that things will go smoothly. But it's everything that could happen between now and the first Friday of the tournament that's the major concern. I talked to Georgia Tech's Josh Pastner. Georgia Tech is a team that should get into the field. They're certainly right there. They played Wake Forest in Winston-Salem, North Carolina the other day. And instead of going back to Atlanta, they're just staying in North Carolina. And once the tournament starts, they'll go to Greensboro for the ACC tournament. So they're going to stay in North Carolina. And then once the tournament starts, they're going to go to Indianapolis. They may not come back to campus until early April if they keep winning in the NCAA tournament. So that's kind of how teams are approaching this. We're not going home. We're going to stay on the road, keep our guys close, because that's our best chance to get through this.
I mean, there have been so many postponements, reschedulings, stop downs that last weeks even. There's been very little flow in a sport that kind of relies on some amount of continuity on the floor. How has COVID affected which teams we're seeing kind of pull ahead here at the end?
Well, I mean, I think there are a number of teams that have been slowed down. You can look at the teams that struggled after a lengthy pause. Illinois, I mean, the team that's going to get a one seed, they've made some statements where they don't necessarily think Michigan's Big Ten championship is valid because Michigan didn't play as many games because they had a three-week pause. So there's a lot of that going on. Who played more games? Well, you didn't play that team. There are coaches and programs that know that it's not an excuse. Whether you're ready or not, here we are. And I think the committee is going to approach it the same way. You've got to find a way to build that momentum no matter what the circumstances have been. But the stopping and starting has certainly hurt some programs. And a team like Kansas, for instance, which hasn't had to pause, I think they've been the beneficiaries of that.
So when we get to Indianapolis and we get to this bubbled NCAA tournament, can you just describe how this is going to work, Myron? Just the logistics for those who are not all caught up in terms of the grand master plan that the NCAA has in order here?
Well, the fans, the stands will be partially filled, but limited capacity, like most places. But there's going to be a barrier, some of it physical, some of it not, between the players and coaches and everybody else. For instance, as a reporter, I will have zero direct contact with any player, coach, or staffer in the NCAA tournament. Now, mind you, the NCAA tournament, for guys like me, that's where you mingle. That's where you,
you reconvene.
You have conversations. You hang out. Like, that's what the event is about.
The idea, Myron, that you can't be in the locker room to witness what is oftentimes the happiest day of these players' lives and sort of to get that human element.
Yeah, those are the best stories. I remember being at a game when Tom Crean was coaching Indiana, and you're supposed to get 15 minutes in the locker room with players. And Tom Crean tried to kick us out like 5 minutes into it. And we were like, wait a minute, man, you can't do that. So we actually had to go get an NCAA official to reopen the locker room. Like, they opened the locker room against Indiana's wishes and they let us back in. And we felt like we'd won the Olympics or something, man. Like, we protested and they let us back in. Wisconsin in the Final Four in 2015, I was sent to their locker room and it's just Sam Decker and Frank Kaminsky crying their eyes out. It was their second opportunity to go to the Final Four. They had fallen short again. And they were a broken team. And as a reporter, you see that and you convey that to the general public. That's something that we're not going to have in this tournament.
So the doors, in other words, Myron, are going to remain locked. You'll be on the outside looking in terms of the locker room dynamics. But I want to ask you about some of those standout players that you are looking forward to as March Madness really gets underway. You did name check a couple of guys in particular. You name checked Cade Cunningham, who we talked about, full marks there, of course. You mentioned Luka Garza from Iowa, and you called him that one guy. And Luka Garza now is leading the pack to be named best player in the country this season. What has Luka Garza shown you, Myron, as this season has gone on?
Well, first, we talked before the season, and this is kind of the basketball junkie he is. He spent the offseason watching Jack Sigma and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar videos. Like, he was working on his skyhook. Like, that's the kind of dude he is. I think he's just gotten better everywhere. And I think he is the Wooden Award winner, and I think he is deserving of that particular crown. Now, he's got to attach some postseason success to that. But he's just been great. I mean, to me, he's been the most consistently dominant figure in all of college basketball.
So I want to pivot here to the Big Ten, because there is this player that every time he comes on the screen, I am transfixed by him, Myron. He plays for Illinois. He is a guard. He's been called the best closer in college basketball. He wears a mask. Tell me about this gentleman.
Dasumu is the... You know, one of the Wooden Award candidates, one of the best players in America, has had multiple triple-doubles. It was already easy to root for him before the mask. I don't know how you go against a guy playing that well with a mask on. Like, to me, America's going to meet Ayo Dosunmu.
Dosunmu on the drive, yes! Plus the foul!
Talk about stars stepping up. Talk about stars and forget about the mask.
And I think they're going to fall in love, Pablo.
So you got to describe the mask for our listeners, Myron, because it's Batman-like, I would say, but also, like, from a medical perspective, it's protecting his, like, facial injuries. So it is weakness on the one hand, but also one of the coolest things in the sport.
Yeah, if they just showed you the picture, you'd be like, oh, so that's the new Justice League villain that everybody was talking about. Like, that's who he looks like, man. But then he's just such an amazing player. And I think he's out for vengeance. I think that Illinois team, they think Michigan's Big Ten title run is fraudulent. And I think that's their motivation going into the Big Ten tournament. We're going to prove that we are the best team in this league. We played the most games. You all didn't. And they're out to prove a point. And I think that's going to be fun to watch IO Illinois in the mask.
So let's get to the very top of the field again, because I want you to assess for us where Gonzaga is in all of this, because as the clear number one seed, as the team with Jalen Suggs, their big name star point guard, where do you think this goes for them?
I think you can go all the way. Your favorite teams lost to Gonzaga. And if they didn't lose to Gonzaga, the teams that beat your favorite teams lost to Gonzaga. So this is a real team that has nothing to prove. But I do think that this is the year for Mark Few. Mark Few is not like any other coach I've ever covered. He will turn off his phone in the middle of the season and go fly fishing in like the middle of nowhere in Eastern Washington. And like you won't be able to reach him. Like, and he does this regularly. He's just a different kind of dude. He's wired differently. So I think for him, he's had really good teams in the past. But this is the first group with high-level NBA talent and multiple players who could be first-round picks. I think that's the difference. This is an explosive offensive team that's playing great defense too. And I just don't know how you stop them. They're the Brooklyn Nets of college basketball. They're going to put up 100 points a game. Good luck beating them.
We need a Cinderella from you, Myron. I know the tournament field has not been selected yet, but in terms of a team that you're tracking, that you think of as a team that could make some noise, what comes to mind?
I think I'd have to go with a Georgia Tech team that's won 6 in a row. Georgia Tech has had its struggles. They have not been viewed as a top-tier ACC team, but I think they're finishing strong. And if they get into the field, they could be one of those interesting teams. Great backcourt. Josh Pastner has really coached them up. And I think they will be an interesting team to take a hard look at when you're filling out your brackets. I think if I had to pick another team, I would go with the team that people know. They just don't know they're still good. Loyola Chicago. Loyola Chicago made it to the Final Four 3 years ago. And all they've done since then is continue to play elite basketball.
The only thing, admittedly, that I remember of Loyola Chicago, Myron, is one particular person in their fan base, Sister Jean. And the sight of a nun just going wild come tournament time is delightful. I am even more impressed, by the way. I just looked it up, and God bless her. Born August 21st, 1919, and still going.
Sister Jean had a press conference that we all attended. And there was a fight to get these seats. There was an overflow to the point where the door to the press conference is open and the people are flowing outside of it, reporters who are trying to get to her. After they make a run to the Final Four, I'm there. And at that point, she had handlers. At that point, she had a camp.
She had an entourage?
Now, I knew her before the fame a little bit, so I kind of got some access.
Be careful, San Antonio. The Ramblers are on their way. And I hope we continue, but we always do one game at a time.
But there was certainly a different vibe around Sister Jean once Loyola Chicago made that run. I'd welcome it again because that was a lot of fun.
I just love, Myron, how you made sure to make all of us aware, and rightfully so, that you're a Sister Jean hipster. You knew her before she was cool.
Before she dropped the platinum album, I was a fan. So that's kind of where our relationship started.
Myron Metcalf, thank you for your NCAA analysis. May we all be so bright and popular when we're 101 years old.
I hope so.
Up next, how Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys finally bent the knee to Dak Prescott.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's another story I want you to know. Dak Prescott is the most important player on arguably the most important team in all of professional sports, which is why the last year of public squabbling between the Dallas Cowboys and their starting quarterback had been so delicious. It's not that Cowboys owner Jerry Jones didn't want Dak. He did. That's why he franchise tagged Prescott last offseason. It's just that Jerry didn't want Dak enough to give Dak precisely the contract extension that Dak wanted, leaving a franchise quarterback's future pretty much blowing in the breeze. Until now. Last night, Adam Schefter reported that Jerry has relented, signing Dak to a 6-year deal that is, thanks to some clever accounting, really a 4-year deal, which is exactly what Dak wanted, with the extra 2 years designed to be voided so as to help out the Cowboys' salary cap situation, which is what Jerry wanted. And the dollar figures involved overall are staggering. Dak will get a record $66 million signing bonus, Schefter reported, and a record $75 million in year one, and a record $126 million guaranteed. The overall deal could be worth up to $164 million. Pretty much exactly the template foreseen by our friend Bill Barnwell on last Monday's show. And because Dak is also receiving a no-trade clause and a no-tag clause, the whole agreement sucks a lot of potential drama out of the building too. In other words, this ultimately feels like a win-win. Unless you, like me, had begun to enjoy this last year of ever-deepening dysfunction in Dallas. Because by giving in to what Dak wanted, Jerry achieved the one thing that had begun to seem so deliciously improbable. Compromise. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.